I'll turn off the computer, but it's especially working from home. You're like, oh, I have my phone on me. I'll just keep shopping or keep looking at design stuff, you know, and not pay attention to my kid.
Welcome to the Secret Life Podcast. Tell me your secret. I'll tell you mine. Sometimes you have to go through the darkness to reach the light. That's what I did. After 12 years of recovery in sex and love addiction, I finally found my soulmate, myself. Please join me in my novel, Secret Life of a Hollywood Sex and Love Addict, a 4-time bestseller on Amazon. It's a brutal, honest, raw, gnarly ride, but hilarious at the same time. Check it out now on Amazon. Welcome to the Secret Life Podcast. I'm Breanne Davis-Gant, and today I am pulling back, you know, all walks of human secrets that we keep hidden from other people and ourselves, and you know, the how, what, when, where, why of it all. And today I have a very special guest. Her name is Nicole, and she's actually going to share something that I feel people don't talk a lot about. So, Nicole, my question for you, dun, 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 what is your secret?
Well, my secret is that I am a mother that prefers and probably wishes that being a working mother, I just wish I worked more in my career and less in motherhood.
Oh, I'm so glad you said that. Now, how many kids do you have?
I have two young kids. I have a 5-year-old and a 18-month-old.
Oh, you're in that 18-month-old stage. Yeah. That was like brutal for me a little bit, that age. How's it going with that age?
You know, as the older one, you know, gets a little bit more independent, she is still just as sassy as she was when she was younger. And, you know, her attitude is very flamboyant and girly. So I think it's just about, you know, embracing that side of her. And I just wish that I could give her more attention. But, you know, being a working mom, I think I definitely choose work over her sometimes, but I think being an example for her is kind of how I try to get away with it.
Right.
So that is what kind of allows me to feel okay with it. But at the same time, I think I also lean on my family a lot. That is also part of the secret, is having these people who can really back me up and give me that support, which I know a lot of people might not have, but
no, I don't have it.
Yeah. And so I think that just fuels the fire, where I think I just become so codependent on them, both my husband and like the grandparents on both sides. Like, I think having them as crutches, I lean into my work more so than ever. And now I'm forced into this motherhood role again of feeling, you know, not at a loss, but how to juggle working from home and kind of being this weird stay-at-home mom, but not thriving as my usual self. But luckily, my girls are pretty independent in their own nature. And they don't want my help sometimes, in some cases. So, you know, luckily, maybe I am raising two independent young females in this new age, and I'm okay with that. So,
well, here's my question for you, just so the listeners know, how many hours a week do you think you work? Like, if you could average?
I mean, I would say 24 hours now, working with the kids at home and mentally working. There's no stopping. I mean, I do interior design and architecture. So, you know, I can go out into the field for 8 hours, 10 hours a day, but then I'll come home and try to do some shopping for work online. And then my husband takes a lot of that front of being there for the kids and cooking and cleaning, and I'm still mentally working in my head. And so, you know, my kid nurses at night still. I'm up all hours of the night with her and they sleep with me. So it's like motherhood is taking my night shift.
I'm in shock right now because I can't imagine, because I'm a working mom too, and I have lots of stuff going on, and you know, we work from home, and I cannot imagine breastfeeding and being a working, and because I honestly, at the beginning of this stage, I had a hard time with the stay at home. I'm not a stay at home mom. I don't find my peace at home. Like, you know, like, so I understand you, I'm totally identifying with you, but to be nursing on top of it, I'm in shock. Shock.
Yeah. I think when I was actually going into the office, I was able to kind of remove myself from it. And I went back a lot earlier with the second kid. And I think once we came back from quarantine or came home and started working during the quarantine, my kid just reverted back to nursing like full time. And I was like, what?
Is this like every 3 hours?
Yeah. And it's just more out of comfort than the obvious nutrition and, you know, cause she'll eat normally, but it's just the attention that she needs. And so I do feel guilty, and I do feel that pain of not being able to give her the attention that she wants. Cause I'm like, oh no, like we can't do this right now. I'm on a conference call or I need to do a presentation, but you know, she's crying and
oh, mother shame is real. I can feel it in your voice, like the shame a little bit. Like there's a part of you that sounds like you don't want to be saying it, but it's so true. I think we shame ourselves in like, It is hard to give your child everything you need and plus take care of yourself. So it seems like I can hear it in your voice and I am with you. So
thank you. No. And my husband gets it that he can't give her that attention, that physical attention. So he does everything he can to like make up for it. And I think, like I said, my family is my crutch. And so that's like also just as bad, you know, like I lean on them too much and I'm like, oh, I can get away with it. Like, cause they're there or he's there, you know? And I'm so grateful for them because otherwise I don't know how I would survive motherhood in all its entirety. I think, I mean, for me, for both kids, they weren't necessarily planned. I mean, they were planned in the sense that we were married and, you know, I accepted children and, you know.
So you never wanted to have any kids? Did you, were you one of those?
Not necessarily. I mean, I am Catholic and I wasn't on birth control I was on birth control, but I was probably that like weird percentage.
So you got pregnant on birth control is what you're telling me.
On the first one, I was pregnant on birth control. And then the second one, that was, I don't know. I can't remember that.
Mommy brain. She's having mommy brain.
Yeah. No. And it was just like, I mean, that was just the timing of life, right? And I'm very accepting of, you know, falling into these roles, but it's not in my nature. I don't think nurture was not in my nature. And for our first child, I had just gotten into my career and wasn't really sure how to handle it. And I tried doing the stay-at-home mom / part-time freelance work. And I was more confused than ever. And I think my pride took a lot of the hit. And so once we had my second kid, I was like, I'm going to be selfish and go back. You know, I think that's where I found my confidence level and I kind of stuck with it and pushed back on just you know,
what society tells mothers. Yeah. Listen, girl, I did not want kids. Like I never saw myself as a mother. I never saw myself married. So when we decided to have a kid, my career was just taking off and I was on a series and I was like, do I want this? And I did, but then becoming a mother and taking that time off to heal yourself and feed your baby and all that stuff, I could not wait to get back on set. I think I went back after 4 months.
Yeah.
And it was like coming home. Like a part of me was missing. And sometimes that's what some mothers need. They need that. And I told my husband, I was like, I'm actually jealous of the women that just want to be stay-at-home moms.
Yeah.
Like I wish I had that, but I just don't.
No, I definitely agree with you. Like I thought I could do it, like just having that luxury of flexibility and just being with your child. And I mean, luckily my children are cool. Like I think they are cool and like they're pretty
well, fun. You're really cool. So I think your children are probably cool.
Well, no, yeah, like they can just chill and have a good time and, you know, self-entertain. I was just listening to something earlier about how to like allow your kids to occupy themselves, right?
Independent play, I think is what they call it. Yeah.
And from an early on stage when with our first kid, my mom used to say like, how can you work from home and just watch your kid just play by themselves? I was like, that's how she kind of grew up on. It's not like I was neglecting her. It's that both kids, you know, they would rather play and do things on their own than let me bother them. And like, you know, I'm bad at pretending. I'm bad at pretending and playing dress up with them. Like I was never like that kid in theatrics, you know, where I'm like, I can be an actor and like, let's pretend we're astronauts. Like, no, like I can teach you how to craft. I can teach you how to draw. I can teach you math, maybe another language, but no, I'm like, so the homeschooling part has helped. I'm not a great teacher per se, like with patients, but.
Oh, I'm terrible. I can't even imagine homeschooling right now.
I'm a strict teacher. I don't have that nurturing side, but at the same time, like, yeah, like I can excel at certain realms of,
I think that's great though. Leaning into our strengths and like letting it be okay where it's not a natural fit.
My husband, he runs a family business. So that takes precedence in our overall future, where my need to make money is, you know, just to support like the day to day, I guess now, bank account. I mean, it's like, luckily we are able to we own our home. We own a second property. We've done well for ourselves, but it wasn't with the help of family to really help make those proper investments. And so I kind of have been able to do well but maintain all of those things still comes with a lot of time and management. And it's like, the more you have, the more responsibilities, right?
Completely. Completely. I agree. The more you have and the more like successful, you have to maintain that.
Yeah.
Like,
you have to maintain
you think
it.
You can like sit back and relax and you actually can't, like you have to keep maintaining it or it goes away.
Yeah. And I think, with my pride of work, I think I have become lazy in other areas. Like I don't do anything really for myself outside of wanting design and art and shopping, you know, I mean, so it's hard to find balance just for my peace of mind. And so
maybe you're saying like a little sloth in the spiritual area and self-care and all that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, I'll put on a face mask, but my husband, he's like, you need to balance like your health, like in all of this, like, because
So that's what, how I think you already answered the next question. You're like on it. Like you've harmed, you're harming your self-care.
Yeah.
You've benefited your daughter seemed to be very self-sufficient, even at a young age. I think that's important. Who else has this benefited and harmed, you think?
Oh, I mean, once I thought I might've had this virus, like I thought I harmed my entire family. Like we... Mm. What was it? We had just seen like my extended family, all the grandparents. So there was just so much emotional guilt that I felt. And, you know, a lot of them were like, it's okay. Like this could have happened to anyone through contact of the grocery store or whatever, you know, but they just tell me like, if I have to keep working to make things happen for our family, like, you just got to do what you got to do and be safe. And so yet again, my family's still taking the crutch for me and allowing me to keep working. And so I'm not saying they're fueling my fire of wanting more, but I do thrive on going to these job sites and feeling empowered and physically installing and doing my job. But you know,
here's my question for you that just popped into my head. Do you feel like no matter what success you get in your career, that you're always going to be wanting more? Is there ever like, are you like, you're always going to be striving for more?
No, I hit a comfort level. I hit a comfort level before I had my second kid and I was like, oh, I can do this. Like I can have, you know, cool kid in kindergarten and have an only child. I have a great husband. I have all these things. And that was comfortable. And that felt good. That felt really good. And I felt great. And, you know, it's when you hit those obstacles at work that knock you back down and make you feel like, oh, like you might not be good enough and you're easily replaceable. And I was like, that's when you have to like kind of keep yourself on your toes. So I do know what it's like to kind of plateau and take that step back and feel that moment of gratitude. But yeah, I think my husband is the one that constantly keeps my feet on the ground because he's just as addicted to new projects and making things for our family that are a little bit more long-term. Even though his turnaround time on projects can seem short term because he's always trying, like, I'm not saying he's failing at them, but, there are, you know, roadblocks for him that, he faces, but he's always striving more, but he allows me to kind of, keep my feet on the ground and same for him. Like I'm always like kind of giving him that hesitation, like, oh, you really want to do that? Hey, like, sure, go ahead. Like with his projects. But I think that's the key is, yeah, just having a solid partner in all of this just keeps our kids healthy and our, you know, work life healthy. But
so how do you move forward in the future? Like the couple of things you said, how do you move forward in maintaining more of a balance maybe and still, you know, driving for what you want in the workplace?
A schedule. It's like I try to be a little bit more organized every day. You can't Marie Kondo your life. You know, with toddlers, like you can plan, but how do you live and not feel free spirited at the same time? So I think schedules help, but you got to have room for error and freedom. But moving forward, you got to have goals. Like that is the key, I think there, like, cause sometimes I do forget to have goals for myself. Like
right.
I have goals for work. I have goals for the next 6 months, the next 3 months, but like, do I have like a daily goal of, you know, maybe going for that walk or you know, speaking to friends, you know, like those social goals are important for people, those health goals, whether they're daily, short-term, long-term, you got to remind yourself that, that those are also essential to living, and how to get there.
I love that. So we all need to get some self-care goals is what you're saying. Yeah. And, you know, like meditation or prayer or like 20 minutes to work out or go on that walk you said, or journal, or all those things that keep us connected to who we really are and not just like striving, or like giving to your kids.
Yeah. And I know it sounds like a little cliche, but I mean, I think if you are passionate at whatever you're doing, or if it is something that you are keeping a secret, like you're always going to have a goal towards keeping it to yourself or fueling that passion. So it's just kind of putting a spin on it, I guess, and seeing how positive you can kind of come out of it, and seeing the people that are down for the ride, the reason, the season, and the lifetime commitment of people who you surround yourself with, I think will get you to your goals. I think that is also the key to why I've been addicted to work, is because of my coworkers and my mentor, you know? So that's why I show up every day.
Yeah. Maybe just put like an alarm on your phone and not take an email after 8 p.m.
I'll turn off the computer, but it's especially working from home. You're like, oh, I have my phone on me. I'll just keep shopping or keep looking at design stuff, you know, and not pay attention to my kid.
Right. You know? Well, thank you so much for coming on. I am so grateful. I identify with so much you said, and I think our listeners probably did too. I mean, how could you not? So Nicole, you rock.
Thank you.
Keep putting in the work, being a great mom, putting an example for your kids to be a strong woman. And thank you for listening to Secret Life. I'm Breanne Davis-Gant. If you want to be on the show, send me an email at secretlifepodcast@icloud.com. And until next time, thanks guys. Thanks again for listening to the show. Please subscribe, rate, share, or send me a note at secretlifepodcast.com. And if you'd like to check out my book, head over to secretlifenovel.com or Amazon to pick up a copy for yourself or someone you love. Thanks again. See you soon.